This is Audible.
Daily Self-Discipline. Everyday habits and exercises to build self-discipline and achieve your goals. Written by Martin Meadows. Narrated by John Guinepen. Prologue. I haven't always been a disciplined person. In the past, I couldn't follow even the simplest routines. I had an unhealthy diet, exercised little, and hence was overweight, and didn't have the discipline to commit to the process of changing myself. Today, I follow a strict routine. I have a morning routine, go to the gym 3 times a week, and regularly practice several other sports, including tennis, cycling, and swimming. I maintain a healthy diet and constantly work on new, challenging goals to become a better person. It took me years before I finally understood what discipline is and how to apply it in my situation. Now I'd like to share what I've learned with you. In my first book about self-discipline, How to Build Self-Discipline, Resist Temptations, and Reach Your Long-Term Goals, I approach the subject of building self-discipline from the perspective of developing impulse self-control. In this book, you will learn the ins and outs of building long-term daily self-discipline rather than just situational willpower. While How to Build Self-Discipline was more focused on techniques to deal with specific problems, daily self-discipline is about turning yourself into a person who becomes more self-disciplined with each day and can successfully use this skill for personal growth. In addition to discussing tips to help you grow self-discipline, we'll also discuss various ways to become a mentally stronger person. If you find it difficult to keep pushing in spite of obstacles, or if you feel you lack willpower to continue when motivation runs out and discomfort kicks in, daily self-discipline is for you. As in all my books, I spend little time discussing theory, instead sharing with you practical exercises you can implement in your life. Consider this book a menu, out of which you can pick various techniques to see which one tastes best for you and produces the best results. Each chapter is summed up with a quick recap to help you better remember what you've just read, so you can have a quick refresher whenever you go back to each section. To avoid repeating disclaimers throughout the book, please exercise caution whenever following any of my tips, particularly the ones related to your health. I'm not a doctor, nor a psychologist, nor a priest, nor anyone with formal credentials to tell you what you should do with your life. I'm not qualified to make any decisions for you or give you any health recommendations, particularly if you suffer from chronic conditions such as diabetes, hypertension, or mental illness of any kind, including mild depression. Chapter 1. Fundamental Keys of Self-Discipline. Would you like to succeed when dieting instead of being yet another person who has failed? Would you like to become a successful businessman instead of a wannabe entrepreneur? Would you like to become a world-class performer instead of a mediocre jack-of-all-trades? It all starts with committing yourself to the process and having an unwavering belief your plan is going to work out. Dieting is a perfect example of how powerful commitment is. In a paper written by Rena R. Wing and Suzanne Phelan, the authors point out that despite a general perception that almost no one succeeds in long-term maintenance of weight loss, research has shown that approximately 20% of overweight individuals are successful at long-term weight loss when defined as losing at least 10% of initial body weight and maintaining the loss for at least 1 year. They also cite the example of the members of the National Weight Control Registry who have lost an average of 73 pounds, 33 kilograms, and maintain the loss for more than 5 years. Their secret? Commitment. These individuals reported engaging in high levels of physical activity, on average at least 1 hour a day, eating a low-calorie diet, monitoring their weight, and maintaining a consistent eating pattern across weekdays and weekends. There was nothing magical about their diets. As the authors of the paper emphasize, After these individuals have successfully maintained their weight loss for 2 to 5 years, the chance of longer-term success is greatly increased. What happens in those 2 to 5 years that makes the success more likely? It's the moment when you develop long-term self-discipline, which is the result of following your plan day in, day out. When I was 21, I was over 30 pounds overweight. When I finally realized I couldn't go on like that, I picked a diet that made sense to me. It was a slow-carb diet by Tim Ferriss, and stuck to it for several months. It was the first time I tried losing weight. I learned the guidelines and then followed them to a T, including the mandatory cheat day at the end of each week. And mind you, I took it seriously. You wouldn't believe the amount of food I inhaled each cheat day and still lost weight every single week. Unlike the majority of first-time dieters, I was successful right away. I didn't have to try 10 different diets. I achieved my goal in about 3 months. I never went back to my old physique again. Just like the subjects of the study, maintaining healthy weight became easy once I changed my habits and stuck to them. Why didn't I need to try dozens of diets before finally losing weight? Because I understood that it didn't matter which diet you follow, as long as it's not a ridiculous single food diet, but whether you stick to it and believe in its effectiveness. From the weight loss point of view, the key is not the diet. The key is your ability to adhere to a specific diet and follow it until you achieve your intended outcome. I was also lucky to blindly believe my diet would work. I wasn't tempted to try any other diet. My certainty ensured I didn't have to jump from one diet to another to achieve my goal. A crucial thing to underscore here is the belief that my diet would work. Would I have the discipline and determination to keep going if I wasn't sure about the end goal? I doubt it. When you combine belief with commitment, you get the perfect mixture. This approach to dieting can be applied in every other area of life by understanding it's not what you do, but whether you do it consistently and with an unwavering belief until you reach your objective. I applied the same approach to self-confidence, learning languages, sports, saving money, writing, and business. The most important principle, commitment, became a crucial source of my self-discipline and my special sauce for achievement. However, commitment isn't always easy. In fact, more often than not, we have to face doubt and obstacles more than a few times before we reach our goals. And that's why we have to learn to deal with another A, adversity. Commitment's best frenemy, adversity. You don't need self-discipline when things go smoothly. After all, what can tempt you to give up if you're winning? Few people give up dieting on the first day or stop their workout schedules in the middle of the first workout. It's only when things get more difficult, when you no longer have the initial motivation, that you lose self-discipline and determination. People who are capable of dealing with adversity are better prepared to win against their weak side and keep going despite the temptation to give up. And how do you become better at handling adversity? You introduce it in your life and befriend it. When you become more comfortable with unfavorable circumstances, you'll be able to handle them better. The purpose of this book is to share with you habits and exercises to build your mental toughness, and consequently, the ability to flourish even when faced with adversity. Your self-discipline will grow as a result of putting yourself in unfavorable situations and going past them. You'll also become more determined and motivated because pushing through obstacles and reaching goals despite them will teach you the mindset of a winner. Exercise. Boost your motivation with this simple trick. There's an old adage originating in the writings of the 11th century Persian Sufi poets. They tell the story of a powerful king who asks wise men to create a ring that will lift his spirits when he's sad. The sages hand him a ring with the words, "This too will pass," etched on it. Abraham Lincoln incorporated the story in his address before the Wisconsin State Agricultural Society in Milwaukee on September 30, 1859. He said, "It is said an Eastern monarch once charged his wise men to invent him a sentence, to be ever in view, and which should be true and appropriate in all times and situations. They presented him the words, 'And this too shall pass away.' How much it expresses! How chastening in the hour of pride! How consoling in the depths of affliction!" Each time you feel discouraged when trying any of the exercises or habits described in this book, use this simple trick to realign your perspective. Whether you're facing adversity because you've put yourself against it voluntarily by, say, forcing yourself to wake up at 6 in the morning, or due to unforeseeable circumstances, reminding yourself that everything eventually passes is a powerful trick to aid you in enduring the discomfort. I use this trick regularly to keep myself centered. No matter what happens, I remind myself it's temporary and the tide always eventually changes. It sounds simplistic, but it works. Just try it. How to build an unwavering belief in success. While you can never attain 100% certainty that you'll achieve your goals, doubt is always there, even if never voiced. You can take some steps to become more confident in yourself and get more disciplined, too. The trick is to watch what others have done to accomplish the same goal and imitate them. By following a proven plan, you'll get rid of a lot of uncertainty coming from following a rarely traveled path. If there are hundreds or thousands of people who have followed a specific plan and achieved success, there's nothing standing in your way of achieving it. If your goal is to lose weight, follow a diet with lots of genuine before and after photos and stories. If you want to build a business, learn from experienced entrepreneurs who have helped hundreds of other new businessmen. If you want to acquire a certain difficult skill, learn it from someone who has a lot of experience teaching it, and ideally, a lot of experience with learning in general, so she can better relate to your situation. The knowledge that you're learning from someone who has achieved the same goal will reduce your self-doubt. After all, you'll be traveling a proven path, and not just wandering like a child lost in the woods. When you combine this belief with commitment and proper mindset, "This too shall pass," you'll have the basic tools to start building an iron-like resolve to keep going no matter the circumstances. All ideas shared in this book will help you in the long term. The goal is to boost your baseline self-discipline and not just give you a momentary feeling of self-control because you overcame one little temptation. With these fundamental keys in mind, let's move on to more specific exercises and habits you can introduce in your life to develop your own self-discipline. Please keep in mind the objective of these exercises is self-discovery, helping you find out what works for you in terms of building self-discipline and what doesn't. Let's review fundamental keys of self-discipline. The fundamental keys of self-discipline are commitment, adhering to a specific plan until you achieve your goal, and belief that your long-term plan is going to work out. You don't need self-discipline when things go smoothly. It's only when plans go south you get tempted to give up. Consequently, you need to train yourself to handle adversity. The best way to become more capable of dealing with unfavorable circumstances is to purposefully put yourself in them, which is what this book is all about. Whenever you feel that adversity is too much to handle, remind yourself that this too shall pass. Every challenge in life is a temporary thing. You can handle more than you believe if you remind yourself that things will soon get better. You need an unwavering belief in your plan to make commitment easier. Ideally, follow proven advice coming from a credible person with lots of real-world experience. For instance, when losing weight, pick a diet that has made thousands of people slim. In the case of building a business, follow an outline provided by a successful entrepreneur, ideally in the industry you'd like to follow. When learning a new skill, follow the action plan laid out by an experienced teacher. Chapter 2: Physical Excellence Leads to Mastery in Life. Few people are better examples of self-discipline and commitment than professional athletes. What an average person sees when she looks at an elite performer, say a world-class tennis player, is that his abilities seem natural, easy. She concludes, he was born with it, it was given to him. And she couldn't be farther from the truth. What she sees is an event, the act of winning. What she doesn't see is thousands of hours of practice, his sore body, countless hours of drills, lost matches, and everything else that has made him the tennis player he is today. He had never been born with his abilities, and neither is anyone else. It's the result of a long process taking years or decades, not mere days or weeks. A part of his achievement might have something to do with his innate talent, physical strengths like great hand-eye coordination. However, if it wasn't for the daily self-discipline to bring out those strengths, he would never have become a world-class tennis player. Working on your physique to increase your speed, strength, or flexibility is a perfect introduction to the world of building self-discipline. You won't achieve any of these goals without dedication, long-term planning, and determination. According to research conducted for Centers of Disease Control and Prevention, 34.9% of U.S. adults are obese. In other words, it's safe to say a large part of the Western world has never had much experience with sports for long enough to develop strong habits of self-discipline and persistence. If they had, they probably wouldn't be obese, because developing these traits generates permanent lifestyle changes that aren't obesity-friendly. Charles Duhigg, author of The Power of Habit, calls regular physical activity a keystone habit, capable of introducing several more positive habits as side effects to the first change. A study by Stephen N. Blair, David R. Jacobs Jr., and Kenneth E. Powell shows that regular physical activity may lead to reduced overeating, smoking, alcohol consumption, and risk-taking. By adding physical activity to your daily routine, you can develop these positive side habits almost automatically. For this reason, physical excellence is an essential part of building a self-disciplined life. And no, I'm not talking about becoming a world-class athlete or a perfectly sculpted human being. Constantly working on your health and fitness, to your capabilities and genetics, not comparing yourself to others, is what builds a great deal of self-discipline in life. You can build a strong body in a few months, which makes it a perfect activity to add as one of your daily self-discipline building habits. When you adhere to a specific routine for months or years on end, and you start seeing the results, you can't help but learn to respect the process. It's when you switch from the event-oriented to the process-oriented life when the magic happens. As MJ DeMarco, best-selling author of The Millionaire Fast Lane, Crack the Code to Wealth and Live Rich for a Lifetime, writes in his book, success demands your focused exercise into the journey and the tools of that journey, process, as opposed to the destination, event. Habit: follow a workout plan religiously. Gym attendance, or any other kind of fitness activity done on a regular basis, is a useful indicator of how disciplined you are. A meta-analysis conducted by Ryan Rhodes of the University of Victoria in British Columbia and Gurjan de Bruin in the University of Amsterdam shows that among the people making fitness-related New Year's resolutions, 46% of them quit by June. Gym membership statistics by International Health, Racket, and Sports Club Association show even worse numbers. 67% of people with gym memberships never use them. The gym actually makes more money on people who don't use them than the ones who do. Let's guess how disciplined these people are. There are two pieces of the puzzle at play to achieve an ideal physique. The first one is physical activity. The second one, arguably more important, is maintaining the proper diet. Both regular physical activity and a healthy diet require a dose of daily discipline. When you follow these two habits daily, you'll build a powerful source of discipline you'll be able to use to achieve other goals in your life. Let's start with physical activity. Since this is not a fitness book, I won't give you an exact plan to follow. Just like there's no perfect plan when dieting, there's also no perfect plan for exercise. The only requirement is to introduce some kind of tracking system in your weekly schedule and stick to it. For instance, you'll exercise on average an hour a day and do it no matter what. Neither weather, laziness, nor your friends coming over for a weekend will deter you from exercising. I'm partial to weightlifting and other anaerobic types of exercise that can build muscle and help you achieve a stronger, good-looking physique, and that applies to both men and women. Dear ladies, don't be afraid you'll get bulky. Anaerobic exercise is characterized by short duration, up to 2 minutes, high-intensity activities that lead to increased strength, power, speed, and muscle mass. Good choices here include weightlifting. As already mentioned, it's probably the best choice for most people due to its ability to develop your entire body in perfect harmony. Contrary to a popular image, proper weightlifting isn't about building huge biceps, but about building a strong body with healthy proportions. Sprinting. Particularly hill sprints, which are safer for joints, more effective for fat loss, and much more demanding than regular sprints on flat terrain. Swimming. When done in short, high-intensity bursts of activity instead of an hour-long marathon. Yoga can be a healthy way to build a well-rounded, lean body for both genders. Maintaining uncomfortable poses is, in itself, a great discipline-building exercise. Calisthenics, bodyweight exercises, can be a perfect replacement for weightlifting if you constantly progress to more difficult exercises. All of these sports support building a balanced, muscular, and healthy body. Getting these results is crucial in developing your self-discipline. Progress and reward will fuel your efforts to keep going despite setbacks, though ideally, most of your motivation should come from within, regardless of the results. In addition to anaerobic activity, it's good to introduce some variety to your workouts and perform some aerobic activities as well. I do them mostly not for the health benefits, which are still obviously important, but for the enjoyment of the stress-reducing effect they provide. Just note, it takes at least 10 weeks of regular exercise to experience significant changes to your stress levels. It's all connected with discipline as well. A relaxed individual has a much easier time resisting temptations and sticking to his plan than an overstressed person. Here are a few ideas for aerobic exercises which are a lot of fun and provide incredible health benefits. Cycling. Long rides can be demanding not only physically, but also mentally, which makes it a perfect sport for building self-discipline. Walking or jogging. Simple, easy, cheap, and a runner's high feels good. Tennis. Arguably one of the most difficult sports requiring a lot of self-discipline to master even the basics. Inline skating. A fun exercise that almost doesn't feel like exercise. Swimming. When not done in short bursts of high-intensity activity, one of the best types of activities for obese individuals, swimming is lighter on your joints than, say, jogging. Martial arts. A huge aspect of martial arts is the mental development, which makes it a perfect holistic exercise. How to never quit your fitness program. The five most common reasons why people quit their fitness programs and subsequently lose self-discipline are 1. The wrong kind of motivation. There are two kinds of motivation, internal and external. Dennis Kuhn, best-selling author in the field of psychology, defines internal motivation, also known as intrinsic motivation, as something that occurs when we act without any obvious external rewards. We simply enjoy an activity or see it as an opportunity to explore, learn, and actualize our potentials. External motivation, also known as extrinsic motivation, is defined by sports psychologists Peter Terry and Kostas Karagiorgas as motivation that can come from the outside, such as the motivation to win medals, receive financial rewards, and attract attention from the media. This is known as external or extrinsic motivation because it involves participation in sport for some kind of reward that is external to the process of participation. The type of motivation you need to stick to your fitness program and build your self-discipline is intrinsic motivation. Just like you shouldn't build your self-discipline solely because you want to impress somebody, you shouldn't go to the gym only because you think someone will praise you or admire you for it. If you work out primarily because you expect a certain reward and draw little to no personal enjoyment or fulfillment by doing it, reconsider your motivation. You build your self-discipline when you keep doing something simply because it helps you realize your full potential, and not because it will make you look good in the eyes of other people or provide you with rewards. If you can't seem to find intrinsic motivation, try a different, more enjoyable sport that will encourage you to explore, learn, or actualize your potential. If you hate it, you won't do it in the long term anyway. Speaking of which, the second reason is lack of enjoyment. Having a lot of discipline is great, but it doesn't mean you have to always choose things you don't like. Don't confuse it with doing things that are uncomfortable for the purpose of growth. In 1997, researchers at the University of Rochester and the University of Southern Utah conducted a study on intrinsic motivation and exercise adherence. One group of participants participated in Taekwondo classes, while the other group attended aerobics classes. The first group had better adherence than the second one because they focused on enjoyment, competence, and social interaction. In other words, they chose participating in a type of fitness class they enjoyed and not a class that was focused specifically on helping them achieve their fitness goals. Both choices could have been equally uncomfortable for them if they weren't used to regular physical exercise. But it was Taekwondo that they enjoyed more. And that's the same approach you should follow whenever making changes that are uncomfortable in themselves, like exercising more or changing your diet. If you don't enjoy your fitness plan, change it. Try to pick at least one of each type of exercise, anaerobic and aerobic. If you go to the gym, nobody says you have to use this or that machine. There are various ways of achieving the same goals, although a simple approach with free weights is usually the most optimal. If I recommend aerobic exercises, it doesn't mean you have to go out to a class at your local gym. In fact, I'm against it because I can't imagine a more boring way to exercise than spending an hour in a room doing jumping jacks and other nightmarish exercises I remember from my PE classes. Have fun when moving. Play tennis with a friend. Jog with your dog. Go on a bike ride and explore your surroundings. Have a kayaking trip with a group of friends. The less it feels like exercise, the easier it will be to make it a permanent part of your life. 3. Lack of support. It's great to have enough self-discipline to achieve your goals without the help of others. However, it doesn't mean it's the best way of doing things. In fact, support from other people can often make or break your resolutions. A study conducted by Brandon C. Irwin at the Michigan State University and his colleagues shows that exercising with a partner improves performance on aerobic exercises. A different study, conducted by the same researchers, suggests that working out with a slightly better partner makes the individuals more persistent. It's due to the Kohler's effect, a phenomenon wherein a person works harder as a member of a group than when working alone. If you can work harder and develop better discipline when working with a group, why not benefit from it and get support? 4. Wrong expectations. Regular physical activity improves your self-discipline by teaching you two things: how to adhere to a specific plan and how to be patient when waiting for the results. If you start your workout plan with the wrong expectations, though, it's likely you'll quit before you improve your mental toughness. Due to the phenomenon of the false hope syndrome, making frequent attempts at self-change while holding unrealistic expectations about the likely speed, amount, ease, and consequences, you're likely to set unrealistic goals and expect things that can't happen in a specified time frame. To avoid discouragement, research what kind of results you can expect realistically and set them as your goals. When building self-discipline, small wins are more important than aiming for the stars and not even landing on the moon. 5. A lack of time. A lack of time is usually the least legitimate reason to quit a fitness program because it masks a different kind of problem. If you can't find time to take care of your body, then the problem isn't your lack of time, but your lack of priorities. Few people would disagree that health is the most important thing in life, yet the lives of many people don't reflect it. In this case, you need discipline to identify your values and, more importantly, design your life in such a way that it will reflect them. If health is one of your primary values in life, and it should be because everything else matters little if you don't feel well, sacrifice one of your lesser values, say climbing the corporate ladder, for it. To give you an example from my life, I have several rules regarding the types of businesses I can run. For instance, I purposely avoid hiring full-time employees because the benefits of increased earning potential can't outweigh the health-affecting drawbacks, adding a lot of stress to my life. I could probably make more money acting against my rules. After all, most entrepreneurs agree you can achieve more if you have a team of full-time employees. But my health is more important to me than material wealth, so I'm fine with this trade-off. What kind of trade-offs do you have in your life, and do they reflect your own values? Do you value family and health over your career, yet spend 60 hours a week working with no real plan to reduce your workload? Perhaps it's time to figure out how to change the work-family time ratio. If you avoid these 5 most common reasons, you'll have a much easier time sticking to your workout routine and consequently building lasting self-discipline. Don't forget, though, that all of these problems are there to help you become tougher. It's your job to figure them out, not use them as excuses why you should give up. Side mission: win against yourself. You build willpower primarily when you don't feel like doing something, but do it anyway. In the case of working out, it means going to the gym and lifting weights, or doing your sprinting, swimming, high-intensity routine, despite a lack of energy or motivation. Each day I feel tired, weak, and generally not ready for a workout, I remind myself it's the most important workout day for me. That's when my discipline is truly tested and when it strengthens, if I win against my weaknesses. If you can perform a workout despite a light cold, if your symptoms are mostly in your head, exercise is fine. Hangover, generally bad day, or any other weak excuse, you're already ahead of the pack. These small wins build up and strengthen your resolve like a muscle. If you can do it consistently for years, you probably have enough discipline to achieve anything you want in life. Now, don't misunderstand and act in spite of your body. I'll talk more about it in a later chapter. If you've been experiencing negative symptoms for days, don't be stupid. Stop working out, figure out what's wrong, not enough rest, too much stress, a lingering illness, etc., and return when you're ready. To avoid burnout, take a week-long break every 3 months or so. A Japanese study on training and detraining, led by Riki Ogasawara, has shown that even 3 weeks off isn't enough to compromise the progress at the gym. In the study, one group of participants was forced to take 3 weeks off while the other group kept their regular 3 times per week training schedule. At the beginning of week 9, the first group resumed their training schedule. When scientists measured results after 15 weeks, the progress was equal for both groups. In other words, strategic breaks won't affect your results negatively and can provide a welcome period of rest, providing both psychological and physical benefits. As an additional benefit, a break and subsequent return to your regular regimen will test your self-discipline. For people with weak resolve, it's more difficult to get back to the gym after a break, so it's a good way to see how strong your fitness habits are. If you feel restless during your week off and look forward to going back to the gym, it's safe to say you have developed a strong discipline of working out regularly. Habit: maintain a healthy diet. In today's world, few things in life are more difficult for most people than maintaining healthy weight. There are temptations everywhere. Billboards advertising cheap fast food. Your favorite snacks discounted at the store. Friends asking you out to grab a bite in a burger joint, or simply a pizza a phone call away, delivered in 30 minutes or less. Fortunately, obesity is not something people are born with, except for a few legitimate medical conditions, and it doesn't apply to over 99% of people, so you probably can't use it as an excuse. The only reason why people are obese is their lack of self-discipline. Controlling your weight is not optional. It's mandatory if you want to become a self-disciplined person. At the risk of sounding politically incorrect, you're unlikely to achieve success in other areas of your life if you can't deal with excess pounds. As life coach Peter Sage puts it in his video, 3 things All Successful People Do, if you don't make time for health, you'll have to make time for illness. How self-disciplined and successful can you be when your body refuses to serve you? And note, it's not an if, it's a when, if you don't care about your health. And these are not the words coming from a person who has been slim his entire life. I, too, was overweight and take full responsibility for who I used to be. I had the wrong beliefs about nutrition and the wrong personal values, putting enjoyment from eating over my health. Moreover, it was my conscious decision not to educate myself how to change it. Now, that doesn't mean I'm a proponent of following a radical diet consisting of bland foods. You can enjoy your meals and still be a healthy, vibrant human being. Which diet should you follow for best results? There's no right answer. Dr. David Katz at Yale University's Prevention Research Center and his Yale colleague, Stephanie Meller, compared various popular diets, such as a low-carb diet, low-fat diet, low-glycemic diet, Mediterranean diet, mixed-balanced DASH diet, Paleolithic diet, vegan diet, and elements of other diets. Surprisingly, or not, depending on how you look at it, they found no winner. Every diet was associated with health promotion and disease prevention, as long as it was of minimally processed foods close to nature, predominantly plants. If you focus mostly on unprocessed foods and stick to them, your body will change. And when these new habits become a way of living for you, not a diet, but a lifestyle, you'll notice changes in other aspects of your life too. you'll get more energy, which you'll want to use to spend more time doing something active, which positively affects your well-being. You'll have more mental clarity, which will help you learn new things and grow as a person. Plus, you'll develop a better work ethic, which will help you stick to your new resolutions and achieve your objectives more easily. How to stick to your diet despite uncontrollable cravings. The biggest challenge with changing your eating habits is shifting from your old, unhealthy ways to the new, more beneficial ones. There's no denying most people just can't deal with the overpowering feeling of hunger, even if it's only been a few hours since their last meal, or the feeling of longing to eat an unhealthy meal. While eliminating entire groups of food permanently from your life is not an optimal approach, after all, eating is a large part of pleasure in life, and you shouldn't deprive yourself of it by never eating anything less than 100% healthy. It's necessary to learn how to deal with food cravings so you can develop more control over your body. A person who can say no to a powerful craving is the person who will be more likely to say no when feeling tempted to give up or choose laziness over working on her goals. I give more detailed tips on how to deal with cravings in my book, How to Build Self-Discipline, Resist Temptations, and Reach Your Long-Term Goals. Meanwhile, here are three quick tips that will help you deal with cravings better. First, distract yourself. In the famous Stanford experiment on delayed gratification, children were offered a choice between a small immediate reward, a marshmallow, a cookie, or a pretzel, or two small rewards 15 minutes later. During the waiting period, the tester left the room, leaving children with the alluring reward tempting them at their fingertips. Some kids gave up and ate the reward right away. Others waited and received two rewards. The subsequent follow-up studies have shown that the children who were able to resist the temptation were found to be more successful in life, as measured by SAT scores, incidence of behavioral problems, and BMI. How did the kids deal with the temptation, especially when taking into account the general lack of self-discipline among children when compared to adults? They distracted themselves. As the leading researcher, Walter Mischel, observed, some would cover their eyes with their hands or turn around so they can't see the tray. Others started kicking the desk or tug on their pigtails or stroke the marshmallow as if it were a tiny stuffed animal. While it doesn't really sound like a great strategy to stroke the chocolate bar or kick your desk each time you're tempted to cave in, the general idea behind it, self-distraction, is. Removing temptations from sight is the simplest and most effective strategy. If you don't have any forbidden foods at home, it will be easier to resist the temptation to cheat. There's a difference if there's a chocolate bar on your shelf versus in a store 15 minutes away. The same applies to any other temptation-generating elements of the environment, such as TV, ads, driving nearby to your favorite fast food restaurants, etc. Waiting on the temptation for 15 minutes is usually enough to greatly diminish the craving. If it's still there, keep distracting yourself. Instead of trying not to think about the temptation, try to focus on something else entirely until it passes. It's useful to develop a default habit to do in place of eating unhealthy foods. For instance, each time you feel the temptation to drive to a nearby pizza joint, grab your shoes and racket and head out to the local tennis court. Soon, the less than helpful part of your brain will forget about the temptation and focus on the other activity. As the hot-cold empathy gap says, we generally find it difficult to understand how it feels to be in an opposite state. If we're satiated, it's difficult to understand how hunger can take over control. If we're angry or sad, it's difficult to understand how it feels to be happy. If we aren't sexually aroused, we fail to predict the kind of risky sexual decisions we can take while being in the hot state. In the case of craving for unhealthy food, say mac and cheese, it's difficult to imagine that eating will not be delicious. It's only when you give in that you can experience the emotion you would have never expected during your hot state. Then you find it hard to believe you couldn't have resisted the temptation, given how unsatisfactory the experience turns out to be. Then, there are also other negative effects of giving in to a craving, like how upsetting a certain food can be for your stomach, or how quickly the taste can go from incredible to horrible. It's difficult to think of these consequences when you're in the hot state, so it's important to be realistic about the cravings by pondering all the potential outcomes, instead of, yet again, being puzzled as to why you imagined your forbidden food as so great, and finding out it's not really that incredible, and you only get guilt as a reward. Think about it prior to making the wrong decision. Logic doesn't always work to avoid these wrong decisions. After all, it's an emotional craving. But it can help. Next, don't make it too difficult. It's useful to be a self-disciplined person, but it doesn't mean you should make everything as difficult as possible just so you can improve your willpower. The easier dieting is, the less likely you'll be to cave in to a temptation and give up. In my case, having a designated cheat day every week let me know I only had to postpone my cravings for a few days. I wasn't required to give up my favorite unhealthy foods forever. It was just for a few days. With time, I stopped craving these foods so much, so in the end, taking the easy way out, cheating each week, was better than making things too challenging, not allowing myself any cheating. Science also agrees cheat meals are valuable. Overeating, while on a low-calorie diet, helps increase the levels of leptin production by nearly 30% for up to 24 hours. This post-cheating increase in leptin, which regulates body weight, boosts metabolism, and may also lead to improved motivation. Unfortunately, only high-protein, high-carb, and low-fat cheat days affect the levels of leptin. In other words, if your sole purpose of cheating is to boost your leptin levels, you have to say no to pizza, ice cream, chocolate, and other fatty foods. Doesn't sound like a happy cheat day, does it? However, it doesn't mean you have to strictly control your cheat days. There are both physiological and psychological effects of cheating. Even if you can't obtain the maximum physiological benefits because you choose not to have a low-fat day, you can still enjoy the psychological ones. Giving yourself a scheduled break will save you guilt. Instead of entering the vicious post-guilt cycle, "I already screwed up, it doesn't make sense to get back on track," which will surely happen, because few people can adhere to a strict diet with 100% accuracy, incorporating cheating into your diet. It's about long-term commitment, not depriving yourself of everything and hoping you'll fight off every single temptation. As long as you maintain healthy eating habits 80 to 90% of the time, you'll be fine. Both your health and self-discipline will improve the longer you stick to a healthy diet, even with the occasional returns to less healthy foods. Change your cravings. People succumb to cravings not only because they miss eating pizza, hot dogs, ice cream, or French fries. They also cave in because they never develop permanent alternatives to them. Unless you develop an enjoyable alternative to the unhealthy foods you love, you'll always miss them so much that resisting cravings will be very difficult. Can you guess how easy it is to maintain a diet that lets you eat all that you want? The key is to find healthy alternatives that give you what you want. That normally comes from unhealthy foods. And let's be honest here. You can't replace the perfect, sweet taste of chocolate melting on your tongue with a stalk of bland broccoli. However, you can probably do it, to some extent, enough not to miss chocolate every single day, with all kinds of berries, strawberries, raspberries, blueberries. Is there anyone who doesn't love them? dark chocolate. It's much healthier, and due to its deep taste, we're talking about 70% cacao content here. You need much less to satisfy your sweet tooth. Smoothies. Just don't go overboard with it. That's a lot of fructose. High-quality honey. There's a world of difference between cheap store honey and homemade organic varieties. Experiment with different flavors. Carob. While not entirely something you can eat on a daily basis as a healthy alternative, it's better than regular chocolate. Some types of unhealthy foods can be made healthier by